All right, we're beginning here with the new perek on the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. The perek begins, Anoder mina yarak, mutar bidluin. Someone who takes a nether to restrict himself from eating vegetables does not restrict it in eating a gourd. V'Rabbi Akiva oser. Rabbi Akiva says that it is asur. Now, why diluim are not subsumed under the category of yarak, but of vegetables, there are two reasons that are brought here by the Rishonim. You look in the Rosh brings down the reason that Stam Yerek B'Lashon B'nei Adam, when you use the word Yarak, when you use a vegetable in the vernacular, Yarak HaNechal Chai, it's talking about something that's eaten in its raw state. So that's one position that the Rishonim take here, that vegetables that are eaten in their raw state are considered to be vegetables. Items that require cooking do not have a shame of Yarak. And that's why dluim are not subsumed under the category here of yarak. The other possibility, which is brought by the Ran, is that the problem is that yarak is when you eat the vegetable itself. The leaf, the plant itself, is the consumable item. It is the vegetable. On the other hand, dluim, gourds, are a pre. They are a fruit. They are a derivative or something that grows on the plant. And a yarak only references items in which the object itself, the plant itself, is eaten, like lettuce, cabbage, like broccoli, cauliflower. All of those items where the plant itself is what is eaten, that's called a yarak. And then when you talk about things where there's a pre, where there's a fruit that grows on the plant, that's not known as a yarak, like the case of diluim. So that's two possibilities of how to explain this Mishnah as well as the Gemara is the Hakpada here, the issue of the Duim is because they are not eaten in their raw state, or is the problem here that they are a pre? And the truth is, it could be both. It could be that the definition of a Yarak works this way, which is that if you eat the leaf itself, if you eat the plant itself, then it doesn't matter whether you have to cook it or you eat it raw. But because it's the plant itself, it's known as a yarak. On the other hand, when it comes to being a pre, when you are a product that is a grows on the plant, now to be known as a vegetable versus a pre will make a difference as to whether it's eaten raw, in its raw state, or only in its cooked state. So for instance, the dluim, where only eaten in their cooked state, will be defined as a pre ha'adama and not yarak. On the other hand, you might have vegetables that, like tomatoes, where you would eat them raw, even though they are a pre of the plant, but they're eaten raw, and therefore they might be defined as a yarak. So you have three different ways to approach this as to why dluim are not subsumed under yarak. One is to say that dluim are not eaten raw. One is to say that they are pre ha'adama and not the plant itself. And the third way is the combination of those two. An afkamina between these two reasons would be items like tomatoes, peppers, things that are fruit, pre ha'adama, but they're eaten raw. So those items would be enough communion between these two reasons as to whether they're called a yarak or not called a yarak. Rabbi Akiva is there. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says it's asur. Amru lo the Rabbi Akiva. Halo omer adam lishlucho. A person sends out his agent, kach li yarak, sends him out to the shuk, to the supermarket to go buy a vegetable. Vomer, and he returns and says, lo matzati eladluin. He says, I didn't find any vegetables, I only found gourds. But the mere fact that he came back and told him that means that dluim are not under the category of yarak. Otherwise, he would have just bought the dluim and brought them back. Amar lahem, kena davar. So Rabbi Akiva says, you're absolutely right. Oh, shema amar hulo. You think that the shliach would come back to his principal, to the person who sent them, and say, lo matzati ela kitnit. I only found legumes, I only found kitnit. Ela, shadluim, klal yarak. The only reason that he says dluim is because dluim are a subset of yarak. The kitnit einam bichlal yarak. On the other hand, the kitnit are not a subset of the yarak of the vegetables. So what Rabbi Akiva does is turns the proof of the Chachamim on its head. The Chachamim say if you send out a person to the supermarket to buy you vegetables, and then he comes back and says, I didn't find any vegetables, I just found a gourd. By the mere fact the Chachamim say that he came back and asked you the question shows you that he doesn't think, or people don't think, that gourds are subsumed under the category of yarak, of vegetables. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's just the opposite. Because for exactly that reason, if you sent the guy to the supermarket to buy vegetables, he doesn't come back and tell you Listen, there were no vegetables, but I found some bread. Because he knows that bread is not of interest. It's not even in the category that we're speaking about. So what Rabbi Akiva says is, he flips the reasoning of the Chachamim on its head and says, listen, the mere fact that he's willing to ask the question and present this to the Baal HaBayit shows that it has relevance to Yarak. Because otherwise he wouldn't come back and say anything. If he thought it was completely irrelevant, then he wouldn't even ask the question. The fact that he's asking the question shows you its relevance. And by showing you its relevance, that means that it must be a subset or part of this category of Yarak. That's how Rabbi Akiva expresses it over here. Now, even according to Rabbi Akiva, it's clear that Deluim live on that fine line between a Yarak and a Pri Adama. It's obvious that it's not exactly a Yarak, because otherwise he wouldn't have to come back and ask at all. The fact that he has to come back and ask already tells you that it's not completely 100% in that category. The question is, how close? You're on the line. You're in that gray area. Which side of the gray area is the lot? So Rabbi Akiva says it's towards the Yarak side of it, because the fact that he even asked about it shows you it's meaningful within that category. The other hand, the Chachamim say the fact that he even asked shows you that he doesn't think it's a Yarak. Otherwise, he would just bought it on the spot. So there's the machloket that you have between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in this issue. On the other hand, if we have an instance where we're talking about Pola Mitzri, the Egyptian bean, then in an instance where Asur B'Pola Mitzri Lach, if it is something that is moist, it's in its moist state, it's still in its vegetable state, the Pola Mitzri, then it's clearly subsumed under the category of Yarak. On the other hand, if it's Yavesh, if it's dried out, then it doesn't have a shame of a vegetable, a Yarak anymore, it has a shame of Dagan. The next Mishnah actually will say that a person who takes a neder, a noder min a dagan, asur b'pola mitzri. Someone who takes a neder from dagan, from grains, is restricted in polha mitzri. The reason being, because polha mitzri, when they dry it out, then they make a kri out of it, and then they treat it just like any other grain. So polha mitzri, in its moist state, is treated like a vegetable, and it is a vegetable. On the other hand, when it comes to Pola Mitzri that's dried out, it's classified like a grain or like a cereal, and therefore it's in the category of Dagan. So everybody agrees by Pola Mitzri that there's a clear delineation or line, that in one case it's considered Yarak, in the other case it's considered Dagan. As opposed to the Dalat over here, the Deluim, where we don't know where they sit on that line between Pri Hadama and Yarak. Now the Gemara asks, Anoder mina Yarak, Va'a min Yarak Nadar. So the Gemara asks an interesting question. The Gemara basically rejects Rabbi Akiva's position outright and says, in the end, bottom line is that this is not a vegetable. Everybody knows that this dalat is not a yarak. And then how can Rabbi Akiva ever say that it is a yarak? So you can say in a number of reasons that either it's very clear that people don't use this terminology to include dalat, or for the reasons that we gave above, that it's not classified as a yarak because it's not eaten raw, because it's not the leaf itself. So for all those reasons, it's clear that a dalat is not a yarak. And Rabbi Akiva's reasoning that somebody might ask about it and consider it possibly within the category doesn't seem compelling enough to make it into a yarak. So Amar Ula, so Ula says, well, we have to add something here. But Omer, the person says, Yarkei kedera alai. It's not an instance where he simply says yarak, he simply says vegetable, but he says Yarkei kedera. The vegetables of the pot, I restrict to myself. So over there, as Duran points out, V'kevin demiater lishnei. Since he had this excess or extra language, unnecessary, extraneous language, it comes to be mirabet, comes to include additional items. So the question is, what's included now? What is extended by Yarkei Deralai? The Gemara proposes, or Ula is proposing here, that it would include a dalat. Gemara says, but there's other things that are closer to a yarak that we'd be more apt to include versus the dalat. And that is v'dilma, yarak hanechal b'kderak amar. Maybe when he says it in that way, or he phrases it that way, yarkei k'derak alai, then he's talking about a yarak hanechal b'kderak. Talking about a yarak that's eaten in the k'derak amar. Now what that means, the Rishonim have different explanations. You can Rashi. Rashi says, k'gon shumim u'bitzalim, like garlic and onion, shehein ne'achalim b'kdera, they're eating in a pot, shenotnim otan b'kdera k'dei liten tam b'tavshil, they're there to give flavor to the item that you are cooking. So when you say yarkig deraylai, maybe you're referencing to things that give flavor, spicing to the pot. And that's the type of vegetable that would be included. Not something that requires the k'teira in order to make it edible, but something that is utilized in the k'teira. It's something that's put in there to enhance the k'teira, like the batzal and the shum. And Tosafot says something very similar. Kagon shumim u'bitzalim, shunechal b'k'teira, kagon li'tein tam b'tavshil. That's the way that they explain it. On the other hand, the Rosh explains the reasoning as being ayidei vishat k'teira. That these are types of items that are nechbash, that are pickled or cooked in the k'deira, and therefore these are the items that you would consider to include here because they're more likely to be deemed closer to yarak, or in people's minds that is something that would be closer to yarak than the dluim. So Gemara says, okay, it's a case be'omer yarak amit bashel b'k'deira alai, a yarak that is cooked in the k'teira is restricted to me. The difference here in this lashon versus the previous lashon is the mitbashel. So according to Rashi and Tosafot, who said the previous lashon referenced items like shum and batzal, which were flavors that you put in the tavshil, over here we're talking about a yarak that is actually cooked in there. It's not something that's just there to flavor. It's actually an item that is cooked inside of the pot itself, that is, the vegetable that's cooked, not simply to bring flavor. All right, then, according to the Ran, the difference here is that the fact that it says mit bashel b'k'deira is something that's only cooked in the k'deira. The only way to eat it is it's cooked in the k'deira.
Hanach deba'o bishel tuva, items that require a lot of cooking.
Versus the previous lashon, which is yarkei k'deira alai, is something that sometimes is cooked in the k'deira, sometimes is not cooked in the k'deira. And that's the difference between the two lashonot over here. So what the Ran says over here is very interesting. Normally when I have a Gemara like this, and the Gemara goes through different iterations, Gemara is basically creating what we call dechiyot. It says, okay, maybe this is it. The Gemara rejects it. The Gemara then takes another thing, tries it out, and then rejects it. As it rejects each item, it discards that idea and moves on to the next idea. What the Ran says is that everything the Gemara says here along the stages is correct. And therefore, the halacha, everything will follow based on what we just said now. First of all, we pass an halacha like Rabbi Kiva. We'll see that later. In the Gemara will show why we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, but if we paskin like Rabbi Akiva now, the nafkamino is that everything we just said now will be true the halacha. And that's what the Ran says here. He says it for both shitot that he brought, both the shita, that the reason or the problem with the delat is that it's not eaten in its raw state, or that the problem with the delat is that it's priyadama. So we'll start with the fact that it's a priyadama. And here the Ran says, therefore, hilkach, nuder min hayarak, enu asur bepriyadama. Someone who takes a nether just simply with the word yarak in it, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that that would not include in that category pri hadama, fruits that are vegetables, meaning things that are not the leaf itself or the plant itself. Amar yarak de ra alai, if he uses the yarak de ra, asur b'peirot hadama, habaim lachshir hamachal kishumim ubitzalim. Then he would then, with that extra language, not only include yarak, but we included in the first nether, but this, and that there would also include in it extra items like the garlic and the onion, things that are brought, vegetables that are put into the deira in order to flavor it. Umutar b'tluim. But he would still be mutar in the dluim. Amar yarak hamit bashel b'deira alai. Then if he says the nether, like the final lashon of the Gemara, asur b'chol perot adama, then everything would be included, including the dluim over here. According to the Lashon, the problem or the deficit in the Dluim is that they are pre-Adama, then the flow of the Gemara would go this way. Yarak by itself would only include items that are, the plant itself is eaten. You say Yarak Deira, that would include not only items where the plant itself is eaten, but also items that are used to flavor when it's cooked or you put it in the pot to flavor. You say Yarak Amit Bashel Bik Deira, then you include all vegetables, meaning even vegetables where you eat the plant, as well as vegetables where you eat the you eat the fruit, and even if it has to be cooked. Then, according to the other Lashon, that the deficit in Dluim is that it's high, it's raw, and it's not eaten in its raw state. So that says, V'nimtza, the Ran says, L'achshav, l'fi derech zeh, d'noder min ha-yarak, asur be-yarak ha-ne'achal k'mot shu chai b'lvat. If you just use the Lashon of Yarak, then you would only be asur in items or vegetables that are eaten in their raw state. Umutar b'chol mitbashel. and you'd be mutar in anything that is cooked. Afal pisha pa'amim nechal chai, even though sometimes it's eaten raw. As long as it's not exclusively eaten raw, or at least the majority of the time it's not eaten raw, then it would be mutar. Amar yarkei kedera alai, asur af botan shochlim chayin umivushalim. Once you say yarkei kedera, now you include not only items that are eaten raw all the time, or eaten raw the majority of the time. Here, even things are eaten raw sometimes and cooked sometimes. They would now be included or subsumed under your nether. Avalo botan shenachim ela mivushalim. But you still would not include in that category vegetables that are only eaten in their cooked state. Amar yarak amit bashel b'kdeira. If he uses that final lashon that the Gemara said, asur af botan shenachalim below bishul, then it would include even vegetables that are only eaten in their cooked state. What you see here is that each lashon of the nether expands the scope of the nether, and depending on what you think the deficit of duluim is, the scope is expanding. If you think the deficit of duluim is that they need to be eaten cooked and they're not eaten raw, then what each lashon does is adds in more items that are not only eaten raw until you get to that final stage where you include duluim. If you think the deficit here is that it's pre-adama and not the plant itself, then you expand each time that you add on an extra lashon, you expand the nether. In that instance, you would also expand the number of items that are included to include other items that are pre-adama and not the plant itself. So now the Gemara says, "Pamai kamiflegei." Now that we've established the lashon in which Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim argue, which is "Beomer yarak amit bashel b'kderalai," "Pamai kamiflegei." What is the fundamental reason? What is the nekudata machloket between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim? Rabbanan Savre, komilta de tzarech shlicha limnuchi ala, lav minehu. The Chachamim say, and this is the way we explained it in the Mishnah, anything that an agent comes back to the principal to ask them and seek permission for them to buy it, that's indicative of the fact that it's not the same species or it's not the same category. Because if it was the same category, then we would not need you to come back and ask. Then the agent could act and act on his own volition because he knows that that's included in what the principal instructed him to do. The fact that he's already coming back to check shows you that it's not included in the instructions that he was originally given, and that means it's not a part of the species or a subset of that category. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Savar, Milta de Mimlach Shlich Ala, anything that a Shliach comes to check with the Balabayit about, Minehu, it's definitely that species, because otherwise he wouldn't come back and check. He would know that he doesn't have to check with the Balabite. The Balabite sends to buy vegetables. He's not going to come back and say, oh, there's bread in the supermarket, because it's not relevant. The only thing that he's going to bring back to him are items that are relevant. Yes, it's on the borderline, but it's still relevant. And if it's relevant, then he's going to pose the question. And therefore, it's deemed to be Minehu. It's that category or it's that species. Therefore, and it will be subsumed under the term that is used here. Now, this is not a generic sense that any time that the Shliach comes back and asks a question, that it's subsumed. You have to have a broad enough category where you would include items like this. Items like Yarak, Basar, Dagan, which are very, very wide scope of categories with wide scope or large definitions over there, this whole machloket makes sense. When you're dealing with much narrower scope words, then this makes less sense, and it's unlikely that Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim would argue in those instances unless you can, I guess, figure out a case where it'd be reasonable that the Shliach would have some question about it. But already at that point, it seems if he has a question, it should be outside the world because you're talking about much narrower scope. Here you're talking about words that have broad meaning. And in that sense, this argument to Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is relevant. All right, so now the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Mode Rabbi Akiva, Lein Malkot, Rabbi Akiva agrees with regards to Malkot, Shein Elokeh. This is a big chiddush. Rabbi Kiva all of a sudden says, you know what, that with regards to my argument to Chachamim, I just think it's asur, that the duluim are asurim. But if you eat them, you're not going to get malkot. So that indicates that we're talking about something that isn't so clear. You can see in Tosfot, Tosfot says, Demisfekele, he has a safek, eat duluim bichlal yerek, umisfekele, lo amar, the milke. He's not sure. Rabbi Kiva is not certain that duluim are part of yerek. I told you, it sits in that border right between Yarak and Priyadama, and he's just not sure if it's subsumed there. So the Chumra will tell you, don't do it, it's an Isur, but that still remains a Safek, and therefore we will not give you Malkot. That's the way that Tosafot describes it. And the Ran gives a similar explanation, which is the Kevan, the Deluim, lo mishtayi behedjo. Deluim are not obviously included under Yarak. Because if that was the case, if you took a nether from the word Yarak, then you would be already restricted in eating Deluim. The fact that Ella miribuye delishne, the fact that he has to use extraneous language in order to include Deluim, afagab dam lich shlichale, even though an agent comes and checks whether you should buy such a name, lo mitzasre bevadai. He's not restricted for certain. Ella misveka. Hilkach lo loki. It's only a safek, and therefore he's not loke. So the Ran explains what the safek is over here is because the nature of the way that the Deluim are included. They're included only because you have extra lashon in the nether. And that's what generates the inclusion. But that already means it's a reboy, and it's not so clear that it's included in the core meaning of the word. And therefore it's a sveka. The Rosh terms it this way, Duluchumra Asarle. Because of a chumra, we make it asur. You can read that one of two ways. The chumra asurle means simply like what the Tosafot and the Ran said over here. We're talking about nidarim, which are dinim deoraita. So when we have a safek, we're going to go to chumra, and therefore we'll say it's asur, but we won't give malkot because we're not certain. Or you could say that the chumra asurle is the chumra of nidarim. Nidarim are more chamur, and in general we treat nidarim with a certain amount of restrictions or strictness. And therefore, over here, we're going to say it's asur, even though we're not going to give you a malkot. So now the Gemara asks a question. It's not hatam. Hashaliach shasa shlichuto balabayit ma'al. If the shliach, the agent, does what the host asked them to do, then the balabayit is held accountable. Lo asa shlichuto. If he doesn't carry out his agency, shliach ma'al. Then the shliach is held culpable for the mi'ilah. Now, we know in general, when it comes to the Torah, we have a principle that the Gemara lays out, which is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. Nobody can be an agent to make someone else culpable for the violation of an Aveira. There are some exceptions to that rule. One exception to that rule is Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah, we learn out from Gzeira Shava to Truma of Chet Chet, that Mi'ilah, just like by Truma, a Shliach, an agent, can act on your behalf to be Mafrish the Truma. So too by Mi'ilah, an agent can act to make you culpable, and there is Shliach Nidvar Avera by Mi'ilah. So now Mi'ilah is the misappropriation of Hekdesh, but it's the unintentional misappropriation of Hekdesh. It's done b'shogeg. So here, if the Bala Bayit tells an agent, a Shliach, to go ahead and do something for him, for instance, they have guests, and he tells the Shliach to go give them meat. So the Shliach goes, listens to the Bala Bayit, and gives them the meat. Turns out the meat is meat of Hekdesh. It's Kodesh. It's a Korban. Whatever the meat is, there's some sort of Hekdesh ownership on it. Then if they eat it, they are now Mo'el, misappropriating the Hekdesh. Whose fault is it that they're misappropriating the Hekdesh? Well, the person who did it was the Shliach. He's the one who gave it to them. So maybe he should be culpable because ain't Shliach Devar Avera. But again, Mi'ilah is that one exception when there is Shliach Devar Avera. Therefore, it goes back to the Bala Bayit because the Bala Bayit is the one who's ultimately accountable or held culpable here for doing this. On the other hand, if the Bala Bayit tells the Shliach to do something, and the Shliach doesn't do exactly what the Bala Bayit says, he abrogates the agency, then he becomes culpable on his own. Because he's no longer acting as an agent of the Bala Bayit, but he's acting of his own volition. And therefore, he will be held culpable. So what the Mishnah that we're quoting from Mi'ilah is describing over here is, HaShliach Shasa Shlichuto, an agent that carries out his agency, Balabait Ma'al. Then the Balabait is the one culpable because the Shliach was, in a sense, an innocent party in this. Lo asa shlichuto. On the other hand, if he does not carry out his agency and acts of his own volition, Shliach Ma'al, then he becomes the responsible party for the Mi'ilah. Man Tana. Who is the author of that Mishnah? Amar Rav Chista. Chista says, Matnitin delok Rabbi Akiva. That Mishnah Mi'ilah can't be according to Rabbi Akiva. Ditanan. Because that Mishnah continues and says, Ketzad. Here's an example of what we just described. We gave you a general principle. Here's the example. Amarlo tein basar l'orchim. If the balabait, the host, says to his waiter, to his butler, go give the guests the meat, v'natan lahem kaved, and instead he gave them liver. Tein kaved, or he told them to give liver, v'natan lahem basar, and instead he gave them meat. Hashliach ma'al. Then the shliach is responsible. The shliach did not carry out his agency. The Bala Bayit told him to either give meat or to give liver, and he did just the opposite. Whatever the Bala Bayit told him to do, the agent did not carry out. He did not carry out his instructions. Therefore, when he grants whatever item it is to the guest, it's his own volition, and he'll be chayav for the mi'ilah. He will be responsible for the mi'ilah. Ve'i Rabbi Akiva, if this was Rabbi Akiva, hama Rabbi Akiva, kol milta de mimlech ala shliach, minehu. Anything that a shliach would ask the Bala Bayit about, that is considered to be under that category. It's part of that subset that belongs there. So if the Bala Bayit sent his agent, his shliach, to the butcher shop to get meat, he'll come back home and he'll say to the Bala Bayit, there was no meat, there was only liver. The fact that he would tell the Bala Bayit that information shows you that liver, according to Rabbi Akiva, is a subset of basar. Well, if liver is a subset of basar, then when the shliach gave them liver, he carried out the instructions. He was told to give meat and he gave liver. Liver is a subcategory of basar, according to Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, lim'ol Bala Bayit, velo lim'ol shliach. The person should be mal over here is the Bala Bayit, because the agent carried out his agency. And therefore the Bala Bayit should be culpable and not the agent. That's the question. The Gemara is, it's not really a question, it's showing that Rabbi Akiva cannot be the author of that Mishnah in Mi'ilah, because otherwise Rabbi Akiva's conclusion would have been different. Now this Gemara is very difficult for one simple reason. Abaye already told us that Rabbi Akiva believes that this is only the Chumrah, it's only a Safek. He doesn't believe that it's a Vadai. And if he doesn't believe it's a Vadai, then how could you argue over here that the Bala Bayit should be responsible and not the Shliach? It's not clear here that the Kaved is a subset of Basar. So there are a number of ways to approach it. One way to approach it is just to say that Rav Chista doesn't hold like Abaye. He doesn't subscribe to Abaye's position. He thinks Rabbi Akiva thinks it's Vadai. And it's not Misafek. That's one way to deal with it. The other way to deal with it is to say that the case of Kaved and Basar is different than the case of Duluim and Yarak. David, you hinted to this, that maybe the two are not exactly equal. And that's what you see in Tosafot, in the first widest line of Tosafot, he says, Benira, delo kasha klal, the dafka bedluim, delav yaraku. Our question, when Rabbi Akiva says that it's a safek, and you don't get makot, that's only talking about dluim, because they're just not a vegetable, ala peire, but rather a prihadama, misvekale, and that's why he has a safek. Aval bemide achrino, when we're talking about other categories, pshitale, it's clear to Rabbi Akiva, the mimachale uminehu, that if the shliach comes back and would ask about it, then it's certainly part of the category. So what he's suggesting here is that there's a difference between kaved and basar, where kaved is certainly a subcategory of basar, versus dluim, where it's a safek of whether they're a subcategory of yarak, or they're subsumed under the term yarak. So that's how Tosafot deals with it, and says that the cases are different. Kaved is much closer to Basar than Dluim is to Yarak. So now, the Ran says over here a slightly different formulation than Tosafot. The Ran, the third to last line, says, Nehid, Damrinan, Lael, Demode Rabbi Kiva, Inyan Malko, Chenoloke, Hapreshit, the Davka, Bemide, Delo Mishtam, Elami Ribuya, Kidluim. That's only true. Where does Rabbi Kiva have a fake? When you're talking about an item that is included because of the extraneous language that you use. About Kaved, Michlo Basar, below Ribuya. If you say the word basar, liver is in that category without adding any other language, without doing anything more, kaved is under the rubric of basar. So both Tosafot and the Ran are taking a similar approach, which is saying that Rabbi Kiva's shita with regards to duluim is unique to duluim in reference to yarak, but in other areas, in other categories where the relationship is much stronger or much clearer, over there you would not have a safek, and Rabbi Kiva would agree that you get malkot. If it's something you come back and ask the sender, the principal, about when he sent you to do something, then in that case, it would be considered a subcategory. So if a person would send someone to the butcher shop to get meat, and the guy would come back and say there's no meat, but there's liver, that would make liver a subcategory of basar bivadai, according to Rabbi Kiva, either because the Ran says you don't need any extra lashon to include it, or according to Tosafot, because there's not a safek here. It's clear that kaved is a subcategory of basar, versus Duim, where there it's sitting on that edge, it's not clear what it is. The Tosafot brings a second interpretation from the Varam Hayomer, Dilim ol Bala Bayit lav davka. When the Gemara is asking here that the Bala Bayit should have Mi'ilah, Ela Klomar lo yimol shliach. The Gemara's question is not that the Bala Bayit should really be Moel, because it's not Vadai, it's a Safek. Well, if it's a Safek, then the Bala Bayit should have been Moel, or really the Shliach should not have been Moel. That's the real question of the Gemara over here. So he just rephrases the question, not to say davka that the balabait is moel, but rather the shliach should not be moel. Amar Abaye. Abaye says no. Afilu teima Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva could be the author of the Mishnah Mi'ilah. Kilomode Rabbi Akiva, tetzarech le'imluche? Doesn't Rabbi Akiva agree that you have to ask the question? Now, in looking at Nidarim versus Mi'ilah, the categories are very different, or the question is very different. By Neder, we're trying to determine what is included in the language. So we have tests for seeing what is included in the language. If an agent would come and ask about this item, that would, according to Rabbi Akiva, make it that it's subsumed under that category. It is included in that word. That's a test. Not that he actually has to do it, but the fact that he would do it makes it in the test. By Mi'ilah, we're not trying to test. The question is, did he ask or did he not ask? Meaning that if people normally ask a question about this item, and the shliach didn't ask about it, the agent didn't ask, that means he's acting on his own volition. So if people normally, if you send them to a butcher shop to buy meat, and there's no meat, only liver, they come back and ask you the question, then when the shliach acts without asking you the question, that means that he abrogated his agency, and he acted his own volition. Because normal people would go back and ask the question. So unless you ask the question, you're not considered to be a shliach anymore. And that's what Abaye points out. By Mi'ilah, it's not a question of testing whether kaved is a subcategory of basar. We need to know that you're still an agent, that you're still acting under the instructions of the balabait. Well, you could be acting under the instructions of the balabait as long as you ask the balabait. But if you don't ask the balabait, then you haven't acted in the standard manner that most people would act in this case, and therefore you've lost your rights as an agent, and now you're acting on your own volition, you'll be chayav and mi'ilah. So the really, mi'ilah and nedarim are really two different categories, and therefore, in mi'ilah, Rabbi Akiva would agree that unless you ask the question, it's not considered to be that you're an agent. Kaved might be a subcategory of basar, but that doesn't change the fact that you need to ask the question. Itmar shmaita kamed rova. This whole thing and the answer of Abaye was said before rova. Amar lahon, shapir amar nachamani. That Abaye is answering correctly. His iluk, or difference, chakira, between what Rabbi Akiva says by nidarim and by mi'ilah is right. And therefore Rabbi Akiva could be the author of the Mishnah in mi'ilah. Now, shapir amar nachmani, the Ran over here says, why is Abaye called nachmani? I know Abaye. Bikari lehochi lefishnit gagdel bebeit rabba bar nachmani. Because he grew up in the house of Rabba bar nachmani. We've spoken about this numerous times. Abaye and Rava were orphaned at a younger age, and they were brought up by Rabba bar nachmani. And therefore, since Abaye grew up in his house, Rava called him nachmani as if he was part of that family of Rabba bar nachmani. And it was a nickname that he granted him. So according to the way the Ran views it here, Abaye is his proper name, and nachmani is his nickname. As with all of these cases, we had this before with Rav, Abba. Which one is the real name and which one's the nickname? So the same thing is true here. The Ran reads it one way. Of course, there are others who see it the other way. That Nachmani is his real name and Abaye was the nickname that was given to him. But here the Ran says that Nachmani is the nickname, and it's a nickname that derives from the fact that he grew up in the house of Rabba and Nachmani. Bottom line is that Rava approves of what Abaye said over here in the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara asks, Man Tano the Polygale de Rabbi Akiva. Who is the Tano that argues on Rabbi Akiva? So the majority of the Rishonim over here ask the question as being, who is the Tano in our Mishnah, in Nidarim, who argues on Rabbi Akiva? Which is the simpler way to read the Gemara here that we're trying to figure out. In Mi'ilah, Rabbi Akiva and everybody agrees that the din is in Mi'ilah, so therefore there's no question. Over here in Nidarim, where we have a machloket, we know Rabbi Akiva's position, who is the Tanakama that's arguing on Rabbi Akiva, and that's what the Gemara is searching for. There are those that say that the Gemara's question here is, Mantano, the polygalate Rabbi Akiva in Mi'ilah. Who's the Tana that would argue with Rabbi Akiva in Mi'ilah? And based on that, you would actually come out that there's actually three opinions instead of two opinions, which is the Tanakama of our Mishnah here in Nidarim says that Duluim are not a subcategory of Yarak. But on the other hand, Kaved is the subcategory of Basar. You have Rabbi Akiva Shita, who says that Yarak, Duluim are a subcategory of Yarak, and Kaved is a subcategory of Basar. Then you have a third opinion, who argues on Rabbi Akiva, and that's what the Gemara is asking about here, in Mi'ilah, who would say that Kaved is not a subcategory of Basar, and of course, Duluim are not a subcategory of Yarak. So actually you have three different opinions here. As opposed to saying that everybody agrees that Kaved is a subset of Basar, and now the Gemara is asking the question, according to Rabbi Akiva, who's the one who argues about whether Duluim are a subcategory of Yarak or not? So that's the nature of the question over here. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tanya. Hanoder min basar, someone takes a neder from meat, asur b'chol minei basar. He's restricted in all different types of meat. Now here, when you're talking about all different types of meat, it means chaya, tzon, bakar, all the different types of meat that you'd have. Vasur berosh, o beraglaim. And he's also asur in the head and the legs. Ubekaneh, and the, I don't know if you call it the neck, the windpipe. Ubekaved, the liver. Ubalev, and the heart. Ubeofot, and fowl. Umotar bebasar dagim vechagavim. On the other hand, you are not restricted. Basar does not include fish and, we'll call them grasshoppers, or insects that you're allowed to eat. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, hanoder min habasar. Someone takes an ever basar, asar b'chol minei basar. He's restricted in all types of meat. So again, chaya, bakar, tzon. Umutar berosh, ubiraglayim, ubikaneh, ubikaved, ubalev, ubeofot. He's mutar in all of these. These are all not included under the word or the subcategory basar. Vein tzarech lomar, basar dagim v'chagavim. Certainly, if fowl and all these other items are not included, then certainly fish and the grasshoppers are not included under that term. V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer. And similarly, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel used to say, kirvayim lav basar. The innards of the animal is not considered to be meat. V'ochlehem lav barnash, or lav barinish. Someone who eats them is not human. Now, the next line in the Gemara is almost impossible to read. We'll read it like Rashi says, which is, Ochlehem kibasar. But we know that kirbayim are included under the category of basar. Even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in his exclusion of items that are not included under basar, did not exclude kirbayim. Rashi said, because there's a lot of fat, or for whatever reason, kirbayim are considered to be basar. So then, b'may hilchata, then what halachic ramifications does this have? What Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, that they are not basar, and the person who eats them is not human. Linyan zvine. It has to do with purchasing. Mekach umemkar. Lav bar inash. That if a person has a choice between purchasing basar, flesh, or purchasing kirbayim, and he chooses to purchase kirbayim at the same price, then lav bar inash. He's not a human being, meaning that he's not normal. That's not the way that people normally act. That's an unusual type of behavior. And we say, betela dato etzokol adam. We ignore that type of behavior because it's so non-standard and so not rational. So not rational that that person is not considered to be a human being. That's the way to read it. If you leave out the words, ochleem kibasar, then you can come up with all different types of interpretations over here as to what this means, which is, if he says, kirayim lav basar, ochleem barinash, then the Gemara is saying, what is my hilchata? What's the nafkamina? Linyan zvine, mekachumemkar. If you told someone you're going to sell him basar, you can't give him kirbayim. And lav barinash is a description of a person who eats that. So you could separate the two items out and then explain what the meaning is. But what you see here is that there's a fundamental machloket in the Braita between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama, assuming that the Tanakama is Rabbi Akiva, that when you use the term basar, how broad is the scope of basar? According to the Tanakama, basar includes not only flesh itself, meat itself, but all these other items that are around the periphery of basar. The rosh, the raglaim, the kaneh, the kaveh, the lev, all of those are included. And an oaf as well, fowl as well. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's not the case. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the bar plokto of Rabbi Akiva. Now, the Gemara asks the question, Maishna basar oaf, l'tanakama da'asir. Why does the Tanakama say that when it comes to fowl, it's under the category of basar? It's included. If you use the word basar, that oaf is included. Basar oaf is included. Da'avit shlicha demim lachalei. Because if you sent someone to the store to buy meat, and there's no meat, but there's only chicken, he would come back and check with you. Should I buy chicken? Because there's no meat. Basar dagim nami. The same thing should be true by fish. Da'avit shlicha dilo mishkach bisra. Because if you send him to the store to buy meat, and there's no meat, but there is fish, he comes back and checks with the Baal Bayis. I get you fish. There's no meat. Damar, ilo mishkachna bisra, aiti dagim. So, because a person would say, if there's no meat, bring me back fish. Meaning that sometimes there's no meat, get me some fish. Fish is within that scope of items that you would have included possibly under basar. So if the way to test whether something is a subcategory or included in that category is to say whether someone would ask the question or an agent would ask the question, then over here, basar hope and basar dagim are in the same boat. V'litzeru. And therefore, if you take a neder from basar, you should have included in it basar dagim. Amar Abaye. Abaye says that it's a unique circumstance. Ein ochanami. Abaye is saying that basar of and basar dagim would be subsumed over here under the category of basar. But here you have an unusual circumstance. Kagom. Sheki's dam. On that day, he had some bloodletting done. Lo achil dagim. A person, when they do bloodletting, does not eat fish, because fish are unhealthy or not the best thing to eat after one gives blood. Where it says, the achi afilo ofot, nami. That's the case, then the same should be true with fowl. By fowl as well, you should have the same conclusion. Lo achil, because people don't eat it after they let blood or they give blood. Damar Shmuel, the misukar, someone who had their blood let, v'achil bisra de tzapro, if he eats meat of a bird, I mean, here probably tzafra is a smaller type of bird, parach li bei tzafra, his heart will fly away like a bird. So whether that means that it doesn't give him enough strength and he faints, or that his heart is pumping at a high rate, whatever it is, that when a person let blood for their health reasons, that they let blood in their day, then afterwards you have to eat a proper and solid meal made out of basar. But if you ate fish or you ate a fowl, that would not suffice. So Gemara first suggested that it was a day that you let blood, so the guy wouldn't have thought to eat fish that day anyway. So when he takes his neder against basar, he's clearly not thinking about fish because he can't eat fish. Gemara says, well, you know what? He's not thinking about oaf as well because he can't eat oaf as well. Betanya, ein makizin, lo ala dagim, velo ala ofot, velo ala basar meliach. That a person, after they have let blood, should not eat fish, should not eat basar oaf, fowl, velo ala basar meliach, and he shouldn't eat salty meat. Betanya, higiz dam, person who had blood let, lo yachol lo chalav, velo gvina, velo beitzim, velo shichlaim, velo afot, velo basar maliach. So again, here you have another braita that supports that same understanding, that a person who lets blood should not eat milk, cheese, eggs, cress, fowl, and salted meat. It says, shani ofot, defshar deyudeshlika. Ofot are not like dagim. Dagim are never good after bloodletting. Ofot, fowl, it depends on the preparation process. If it's prepared bitzli, if it's roasted, then it's problematic. If it's shaluk, if it's cooked, then it would be fine. So ofot are still, on a day that you give blood or let blood, ofot are still within your purview of items that you would eat that day. So when you take a neder from basar, you take a neder thinking about all the items that you possibly could eat, and that's what you're restricted in. Since fish are not even on the table because you let blood that day, therefore they're not included in the neder. On the other hand, oaf, which is possible to eat if you cook it instead of roasting it, then that is within the purview of things that you might eat that day. And when you take a neder mi basar, it would include fowl. Abaye amar, kigon de kaivin le ene. The case where he has some sort of eye ailment. De dagim kashim le enayim. Because fish are detrimental to the health of one's eyes. So because he has some sort of eye ache or eye ailment, eating fish would be detrimental. So again, it's, fish is not on the table. So when he says basar, he's not thinking about fish. When it says, ihochi achil dagim, if that's the case, eating fish, da'amar Shmuel, nun samachayin. Like a way to remember it, the letters of the alphabet. Nun samachayin, nuna, nuna means a fish in Aramaic. Samo is a salve or has curative properties, le'inayim, for the eyes. That's what nun samachayin stands for. So if he has an eye ache, then why is he abstaining from fish? He really should be eating fish, because Shmuel says that the fish has curative properties, and it's actually good for your eyes. So why aren't you eating the fish? So how usof uchla? Now, when Shmuel says that the fish is good for you, that's the end of uchla, means the sickness. Once the major issue has passed, and you're already in remission, or you're on the road to recovery, then fish is good for the eyes, and then fish is healthy. But when you're in the midst of that ailment, then fish is not the right item to eat, or it's detrimental to your health to eat the fish. And therefore, if a person has an eye ache or an eye ailment, then he would definitely not be thinking about eating fish. And if he takes a neder from basar, then it would not include fish in that instance. Now, the Ran over here says, only inyan alocha. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Why do we paskin like Rabbi Akiva here? First of all, because we have a Stam Mishnah like him in Chulin. That's one. Number two is, we know the principle from the Gemara in Eruvin that Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mi'chaveiro v'lo mi'chaveirav. Which means that when Rabbi Akiva is one-on-one in a machloket, he trumps. So now that we took our mission over here and assumed that the Tana is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we just made into a Dat Yachid that's arguing Rabbi Akiva. That means Rabbi Akiva arguing Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Akiva. So for that reason, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in this instance. Now, what are the implications of this? The implications of this are that when you take a nether min a basar, then you include any type of basar, ofot, dagim. As long as you didn't let blood on that day, it would include all types of meat. Meat meaning meat, as in the way we call meat today, fowl, oaf, and dagim. That's what would be assumed by the Gemara over here. Now, miyo, dafka ba'atra, and the qualification here is in a city where if you sent an agent to buy meat at the butcher shop, that he would come back and ask you, oh, I only see fish, or I only see chicken, I only see fowl there. Then if he would come back and ask you, then like it is here in the time of the Gemara, so too in that location, those items would be subsumed under the category of basar. And he says, v'zeh shaloki divrei Rambam zal. The Rambam himself does not agree with this, because he says, the dagim lo mitzri, ela be'atra de mimlach shlicha layu, that fish are only restricted in a city where they check, where you would go back and check what the person has sent you. Bofot mitzari b'chol dochta. The other hand, fowl is automatically called meat, or subsumed under the carry of meat, irrespective of whether you send back a shliach or not. V'hu minateima. The Rambam says, I don't understand the Rambam at all. The Gemara mishavina lo. In our Gemara, there's no differentiation between dagim and ofot. They're considered to be the same. Hilchach tarvayu lo mitasri, elu ba'atra de mimlach shlicha alayu. And therefore, they're only restricted where a person would assume, or if someone sent them to the butcher shop, they would come back and ask the principal who sent them, I don't see any meat. Would you like the fish? Would you like the fowl? That would be the only time when they would be included or under the category of basar. Then the Ran goes on to explain that the Rashba differentiates here between Mekiz Dam and Kevenayim, between someone who lets blood and someone who has an eye ailment. In a case where someone lets blood, then there's a discrete moment at which they let the blood, and on that day, they would be restricted from eating fish, fowl, because they might be detrimental to his health. But the next day, they would be mutar. That means if a person takes a neder mibasar, if he takes it just for that day, then those items would not be included. Other than if he takes it for 7 days, or he takes it for multiple days, then that basar would include dagim and ofot, because only one of those days has the bloodletting on it. But the other days don't have bloodletting, and that means the person had in mind to eat fish or a fowl on those other days. And if that's the case, basar would include everything. On the other hand, when it comes to kevenayim, when it comes to the eye ailment, it's not a discrete moment in time. A person never knows when the ailment will end. He never knows when he'll be in remission and things will be all better. Therefore, even if he takes a nether for multiple days, he's still is not including fish under that category because he never knows when he's going to be able to eat fish again. He never knows when the eye ailment or the problem with his pain in his eyes will subside, and then he'll be able to eat fish again. But since he doesn't know when he takes the nether, he's assuming that he's not going to eat fish. And therefore, fish is always mutar when it comes to this eye issue because the person never assumes he's going to be eating fish because he just doesn't know when it's going to end. That's a distinction that the Rashba makes between these two different reasons that are given in the Gemara. On the other hand, the Ran says, "Veli lo sharbi dagim eli nadar yomei demuchei lefum mai dekiven leene debalav nidra lo achal minayu." The Ran disagrees and says he doesn't see any difference, and he says that the only way a person would be mutar in dagim is if he takes a nether on days that would be clear because of his eye ailment that he would not have eaten fish anyway. As opposed to the Rashba, almost defaults to the status where you're not going to eat fish because you have an ailment, unless you know for certain that the ailment is going to be over, that we're not going to say that your nether includes fish. The Ran learns the other way around. Unless you can prove that the nether only covered days where your ailment would have been applicable, and therefore you wouldn't have eaten fish anyway, then you're mutar and fish. But otherwise, if you had a more expansive time, and you can't say, even though you may not know, but you couldn't say for certain that the ailment would apply to those days, then it must be the person might be thinking about fish. If that's the case, when he takes the nether, he's also asur in fish. And then the Ran adds on, what about basar maliach? Basar maliach was mentioned in one of those items that you do not eat on a day that you let blood. But yet the Gemara never suggests that if a person takes the nether on the day that he lets blood, that he'd be mutar to eat basar maliach. We say he might be mutar to eat basar of, he might be mutar to eat basar dagim. But nobody says that he'd be mutar to eat basar meliach. And here, the Ran makes a distinction. Because that the afilu biyom da'kazda asur. Even on a day that he lets blood, it would still be asur if he took another day. Because basar meliach is basar mamash. Basar meliach is not like ofot or dagim, where we're talking about a subcategory of basar. Basar meliach is synonymous with basar. So even though basar meliach might not be good on that day, but if you take a neder from basar, basar meliach is subsumed under that category. You can't escape that. Basar meliach is basar. And therefore there's no question like we have by dagim and ofot. On the other hand, chagavim, it comes to the basar of chagavim, based on what we saw in our gemara here, they would never be included in the neder, no matter what you were doing. Whether it were mutar to eat, not mutar to eat on that day for you, it would make no difference because nobody ever includes those items under the normal term of basar. And no shliach, nobody who you sent to the butcher would come back and say, yeah, there was no meat, but we had a couple of crickets, we had a couple of grasshoppers. Nobody would suggest that. And the Ran says that the Rambam agrees with that position that he is suggesting over here. Okay, we'll stop over here by the end of Nun Daled Amud Bet, and we'll begin with the Mishnah tomorrow on Nun Hey Amud Aleph.